Praise the Lord. It is so good to see everyone this morning. What a good looking bunch. I'll just go ahead and say it. I tell you, amen. It's so good to see you. Good to see this number. And I just thank God for it. Been really looking forward to getting back this morning and everything going on this week with Vacation Bible School. Really looking forward to that. And it's a week of work, but it's a good week. It's a good time of fellowship. Really looking forward to seeing everybody and talking with everybody. And there's a lot of opportunity for seeds to be sown. And not only with those who are in attendance, the young ones and what have you, but also the parents and folks who bring them. We get to talk to them also. But just really looking forward to that this week. And what I'd like to do after the service this morning is invite those who are going to take part in our Vacation Bible School to come forward and let the congregation have a time of prayer over them. We take it very serious and want it to be what the Lord would have it to be. So we plan on doing that this afternoon after the service. But if you will, let's turn to John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. So good to see the McKinneys back this morning. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. One thing about the Lord you'll find is He never is not working. He's always working. When you're asleep, He's working. When you're awake, He's working. When you don't see it, when you don't know it, when you don't feel it, He's always at work. He's got His plan for us, and He's got His path for us if we're willing to follow after Him. That's the question. That's the key. While you're turning there, I think you'll find this a little interesting, too. It might go along with that. Think about being willing to follow and what have you. You know, when I was a little kid, believe it or not, I was pretty mischievous. I had a whole lot of energy. I got my aunt, she's shaking her head. I got my mom shaking her head. If Grandma Reba would have been here, she'd have been absolutely shaking her head, because when my little brother was born, what mom would do, my grandmother would stay with her, would stay with her to help her out and everything around the house. And so what grandma would do is come pick me up at the bus stop. At the end where the bus would drop me off at the main road. So I grew up on John Cornett Road. So if you go up Mountdale Road, there's, I don't know, maybe a quarter of a mile worth of driveway that you'd have to walk. A quarter of a mile if you take the road, maybe a little bit longer if you took my path. But mom would send grandma over to walk me back home. And I was up in the woods and I was over down at the creek. I was all over everywhere, you know, and grandma was trying to get after me, and I don't know how long it takes to get back, but that was always a talk about how I'd run off in the woods and everything, and how that was. But you know how symbolic that is of us as children, the Lord's children sometimes. The path could be a lot shorter and easier if we'd stay on it versus kind of running around and hitting the woods and all that kind of stuff. But got to see a lot of country as a little kid, I'll tell you that. Praise the Lord. Amen. On Wednesday night, we talked about types of prayer. We discussed, kind of had a sermonette, if you will, on the types of prayer, maybe three types of prayer. Asking about petitional prayer, where you're asking, where somebody's asking the Lord for something. Talked about a prayer of thanksgiving, where you're thanking God for what He's done. But the last thing that we talked about was a prayer of intercession, or intercessional prayer. And that's where you're praying on behalf of somebody else. And mainly the topic was getting to the point of just being thankful that people pray for you. People have prayed for me throughout my life when I didn't know that I needed it. I didn't know maybe what was missing as a young person. And people praying for me when I was lost that I could be saved. And before I'd even understood what that is. And about being saved, you grew up in church, but you can have a head knowledge, but the importance of having a heart knowledge, it's mandatory to accept the Lord. You trust Him by faith in your heart. But thinking about, again, the power of intercessional prayer, the prayer of intercession, that's what I want to preach on this morning. You could give it all kinds of titles. You could give it the Lord's Prayer. And you say, I don't see the Lord's Prayer where you're at, preacher. Well, this is the Lord's Prayer. I want you to know that. But it's a prayer of intercession. What you're going to see here in John, this is when the Lord was on the way to the cross. This is one of the final stops before you get to Jesus going to the cross, before He was arrested, before He went through all those trials, before He went before all those people, before ultimately He went to the cross. This is what was on His mind. Talked to a good friend this week. We were talking somewhat along these lines about how the Lord prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." Some people, he said, "You know, some people try to tell you that Jesus tried to get out of going to the cross." I said, "I know. I know people will try to tell you that." He said, "That ain't what that was about." I said, "I know. You don't have to convince me. I know that. I believe that Jesus knew what going to the cross meant with his fellowship with the Father." All you're going to see throughout the Bible was the unity that Jesus had with his Father. But when he went to the cross, that was broken for you and me. He broke that fellowship with the Father to be the sacrifice for you and me. He took on sin. You see, Jesus, God the Father, can't look on sin. And he had to turn his back on his only begotten Son because of that. Jesus knew that. He never one time tried to get out of the cross. I want you to know that this morning as we're going through this. This proves that to you. This proves that to me this morning. This is what you'll find and what you'll see is this is the prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross. You want to know what he was thinking about and what was on his mind? This is where the Lord led me this morning or yesterday to preach this morning on the prayer of intercession. And what the Lord has for you and me, you and I in our lives if we're willing to follow him. There's about three or four things I want to discuss and go through, but we'll read the first five verses and we'll get started this morning. And it says here, John 17:1, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Let's pray. God, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you be with us. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for the service that we've had this morning, the wonderful singing, spirit-filled singing. God, I just thank you so much for that. God, I thank you for the Sunday school time that we've had. I've just felt your presence all morning, God, and never want to take that for granted, God. I just want to see that continue, God, and not ever be a hindrance to that, Lord. I know that we can't do anything as people. We rely on you fully, God, for everything that's going to be done. And it's just your finished work on Calvary, God. That everything is surrounded by, God. That's the center point, God. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that. God, I pray for every heart here this morning. Each thought that's going through people's minds. The hardships that they're having. The trials that they're going through. God, I just pray that this be a blessing this morning and a help to them. I pray for that lost person, Lord, this morning that's really considering, God, accepting you, God. It's been on their heart. You've been working on them. God, I pray for them this morning. Lord, I just pray that you make it plain. Make it simple. God, I know it's us, it's man who complicates things. Your word is very clear if we'll listen with spiritual ears, if we'll listen with trusting ears, God, by faith. Lord, I just pray you be with us this morning. I just pray that whatever you want to accomplish is accomplished here today. God, I pray you be with us in Bible school. Be with each one who takes part. Pray for that this morning, God. I pray for encouragement, strength, and energy, God, for this week. Help us, Lord. Help us to do what you'd have us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You see in the first five verses here, what the Lord is asking for. He's praying, and you see how he is praying here. I believe he's walking along, and he's just talking with the Father. You know, sometimes we think there's a certain way that you have to pray, and with your eyes closed and head bowed and things like that, but you see, this prayer isn't like that. You see exactly maybe the posture that Jesus has here, and he's just really getting down to business. And I think what I've understood, if you were to read this, just to read it like it's written, it takes about 3 minutes to read it. So this is about a 3-minute prayer. We don't have to have long prayers sometimes to get the point across if we're getting straight to the point with what's on our heart. I believe you'll find here this is exactly what was on the Lord's heart for you and me. Also those that were present there at that time, but also for the church and all the generations to come. I believe this is what was on his heart. If you want to know what the Lord's will is for us, you'll find it within these verses. You'll see it here. These are some key points that he found necessary. He thought in his mind as he was thinking back with his relationship that he had with his disciples, what they needed. And you know what? We're not different than his disciples. We're kind of made the same way, have the same leanings and things like that in our life. And so that prayer that's suitable for them is also suitable for us today. So it still applies. And you'll notice all of this is in red. This is Jesus doing the praying. This is his will for you and I here this morning. And the first thing that he mentions, he actually starts out with a prayer for himself. I think that's kind of interesting. You know, when you look at things, a lot of times you want to put yourself last maybe when you're praying, depending on the situation. Sometimes the situation might be so grave or so serious that you are the focal point of the prayer, and that's okay too. Until you and I are right with ourselves, we're not going to be able to rightfully pray for somebody else. That is not the case here with the Lord, by the way, but it shows the importance of what he is getting ready to do. I think that's exactly what this speaks to here for what he was getting ready to do. That was the next step of what was getting ready to take place chronologically. And these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes toward heaven, to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Now, what's interesting about this is how life goes by, and a lot of times we're waiting for the next event, waiting for the next thing to happen. We're waiting for tonight at 6 p.m. to happen, for VBS to take off, so you're waiting for that event. Now, maybe waiting to come to church this morning, and you're waiting for that event. But if time goes on and God allows it to go on, then you actually get to the place that that event is now. The time is now. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying here. All throughout life, we need to make sure we don't look past things. We don't take advantage of things or abuse things or something like that. Take it for granted, because as time's passed, then that event is going to be now. I think back to the day I got saved. I didn't know what day, when that was going to happen. The Lord did. But thank God, being in church and being consistent, being there, then when that day come, I was there. And the Lord knew that that day was the day that I was going to be saved. And you know, when you see this here, he's praying. All these events that everybody had experienced coming up to this point, it's now he's saying, now it's time. One thing I think about too is, when it's my time to go, if the Lord doesn't come back, one day that will be my time. Think about the different prayers that we have, the different things we pray for, our family and our friends, events that happen, good things, hard things, sad things that happen in our life. But I tell you, it's amazing that all of this comes up to this point, and his prayer is that he would be glorified. You say, is that kind of a bad thing for him to pray? Not for him. You see, he being Jesus, all God and all man, the next step in this chronological line was for him to go to the cross, for him to see, for people to see the importance of what he is getting ready to do. You look at the word glorification, that means exaltation, to honor and dignity. You know, that's something to think about. Would you pray that for yourself? I don't know. I might feel kind of awkward praying that for myself. Might be kind of self-centered, but think about what God, through Jesus Christ, was getting ready to do. He's getting ready to go to the cross. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that he must first be lifted up so men can be drawn unto him. You see, they had to understand and see that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He's the only sinless, perfect sacrifice. See, that had to be understood. And there's nothing wrong with Jesus asking that in his prayer, because that's what you and I have to see and accept this morning. That's the first step in anything that we do, is realizing who he is and what he done for us and why he did it. Why he is that sacrifice for us. And it goes on, it says here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Thank God for that. Jesus had power over the flesh to bring it under submission. that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. As many as he has given. How many has he given? As many as willing to accept him. That's what I'll tell you this morning. There's not one person that was born that doesn't have a choice. You hear me? Not one person that was born that didn't have a choice. I want to tell you this. What about Judas? What about the son of perdition? What about him? He had a choice. But you know, God is all knowing. And God knew what he was going to choose. Isn't that something? God knows who is going to choose him. God knows who is going to deny him. But he gives you the chance and the choice anyway. Isn't that something? It's amazing how big God is and how he controls things. And he's talking about eternal life here through this glorification. Again, he's praying for glorification for himself so people can be drawn to him. And look at verse number 3. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God." So he gives Father, God the Father, the credit first, that they may know you as God. The Jewish nation didn't have a problem with that. They said, amen, at that point right there. They're like, yes, the one true God. But how would we know about the one true God without this next part of this prayer? Think about this. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Why was they sending him to the cross? They were saying Jesus was blaspheming, claiming to be God. You see, without this part of the prayer, the rest of these petitions that he's asking the Father wouldn't have mattered so much. That was the most important thing. The first part, the way he started with his prayer, I think it's prioritized. That was the most important thing. That people would come to know God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that they would see that and understand that. Said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Making note, making mention that he was there with God the Father when the world was created. And that's something to think about. You know, just kind of reading things, you might think that Jesus wasn't created until later on. No, he was there when the world began. You think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When they were together and they said, "Let us go down and make man," let us. Who's us? You see the three personalities of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's always there. Jesus has always been. I want to tell you this. Jesus was always part of the mission. What an afterthought. That was the goal. Think about God and his mindset and how big he is, and thinking about everything. He has made provision for you and I in every aspect of the word. Spiritually, physically, mentally, to give us peace. Emotionally, he has given us protection in every part of the process. Look at verses 11 through 16. I hurry on. I continue on. Number one, he prayed for his own glorification in this prayer of intercession. Second of all, you know what he prayed for? He prayed for our protection. Our protection. Let's think about that song just a minute ago. Safe for eternity. When they were just singing it. You think about that. There's a lot of times in your life you probably don't feel safe. There's times I've not felt safe. A lot of them, Brother Darren, with you when we was out law enforcement, there's time I didn't feel safe. I didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know how things were going to turn out. But I tell you, if you're inside the security of the Lord Jesus, you're safe. Not just safe temporarily, but safe for eternity. See, that's the big picture. You say, "Well, why did this person pass away? Why did this happen? Why did that happen?" Well, if they were saved, they're still safe and secure. Amen. They got somewhere to go, somewhere to be, somewhere good to be, the best place you can go and be. So, don't get caught up in just looking at the temporal life. You've got to look at it through all eternity. You look at this prayer of protection. He wanted his disciples to be safe. He wants you and I to be safe and for us to be protected. Verses 11 through 16, it says here. It says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world that I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through mine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. As they're bringing this here together, they want everything to be protected. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know how easy it would have been to pray, let's just take everybody home then? He said, that's not my prayer. That's not my goal. He had not yet went to the cross yet. You think about all creation, the fulfillment of God's plan, it's not all fulfilled yet, but soon I believe it will be. And what he's saying here, he is saying, I'm getting ready to go. Jesus himself is saying, I'm getting ready to go to the cross and ascend into heaven, and I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here physically anymore, but he's going to send a comforter. But what he did in knowing that you and I were going to be here, he didn't pray that we would be taken out. He prayed for our protection. He said, I know they're going to stay there, but I want you to protect them. I want you to see over them. I want you to look after them. Well, why did he leave us here? To carry on the work that he was going to finish on the cross. You and I, this is an important job, Christian. It's in a very important position that you and I are in. You and I are tasked with telling others how to get to heaven. That's our responsibility. You know, I thought about this. I used this thing about last week at Bartimaeus and thinking about how trying to explain things. You know, I said, close your eyes and now try to visualize getting back home from here each step. And that's a place that you've been before. But how would you explain to somebody going to a place that you haven't been to yet? It's all by faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I could tell you that this morning, visualizing how to get to heaven, I would say close your eyes and visualize the cross and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's one step to heaven. Might be several steps for you to take to get back home, separate turnoffs and curves, but there's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ through the cross and what he did. And see, Jesus knew that. He was leaving us here to be the ones to be able to carry on and tell the gospel and to live the life. Live it before the world. That's something that is important. You see some of the verses that he says here, and you'll find it. If we talked about this in Sunday school, living the Christian life isn't the easiest life, but it's the best life. It's the blessed life. And you'll see here what he's saying. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I walked with them. I led them and I guided them. I was there physically with them, trying to keep them together, trying to keep them following you, trying to keep them motivated, trying to keep them engaged in what you were doing. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You think about Judas and what he did, his part in eternity, and how he forsook the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know, you and I can walk around as Christians with joy in our heart. You know that? Sometimes it might seem few and far between that we actually are able to do that, but you can have joy in your heart this morning. It's a subjective thing to a lot of people. How can I be happy with all these things going on and all these sad things, hard things? I tell you, if you got Jesus in your heart, you can be happy this morning. He fills a space that nobody else can fill. You think about having hope. I have hope. Every Christian, through every circumstance, has hope. Every single one of us. You say, man, it can get bad. Yes, it can. You can find the hardest things in life and face the hardest things in life, but if you have the Lord and Savior to lean on, to lean to, he can give you hope. I've seen it happen. Brother Curtis, has it happened? Amen. Sister Ashley, has it happened? I've seen some hard times with them, but I've seen the Lord come through. Amen. Here's the thing. You say, well, preacher, what if you pass on? I'm in heaven then. That's my hope. I mean, the worst case scenario, I'm with Jesus. Worst case scenario, on this earth, the way natural eyes look at it, worst case scenario, I'm with Him. You don't have to worry about me anymore. My faith is in it in sight. He's talking about protection and joy that you and I can have in doing the work that He's called us to do because we're safe in Him. He talks about us here in these next few verses. Verses 17 through 19, he talks about sanctification. See, it's not just about doing what we want to do. It's about surrendering our will. That's a hard part. Giving somebody else control. Not feeling in control ourselves. Not having everything as we would see it to be planned out how we want it to be. And say, Lord, whatever you want. And then he takes over driving and you start going places you've never been before. Places you don't know how to get to before. Anything like that, you've never been, it feels awkward, it's different. But see, to be sanctified, that means to be set apart. We don't walk the same, we don't talk the same, we don't ask the same. And Jesus Himself is asking that for the church, that we not be the same. We're not supposed to carry on like everybody else. We're not supposed to carry on logically, we're supposed to carry on by faith. That is what He teaches us. Verse 17, it says here, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, I want to say this. I've been dying to say this for a long time now. How many people in the news have you heard in media and things like that that somebody say, this is my truth? Have you heard that? Somebody say, well, this is my truth. And then somebody else say, you know, talking about somebody else, well, that's their truth. I want to tell you this morning, there's only one truth. There's only the truth. There's not my truth, your truth, or anything like that. It's just the truth. That's the only way. What's the Bible say? I'm the way, the life. No man cometh. I'm the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said the truth, not a truth. He didn't say your truth, His truth. There's only one. That's the truth. And see, that's what he's talking about here. If you want to know what the truth is, it's in his word that he's given to us. Thank God that he gave us his word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is the truth. This is the roadmap. This is the plan. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. What you'll find, Jesus is praying here, and the example, he came and he set the example. Now he's asking us to follow after him. He's just saying, what you've seen me do, be like me. And that's something. That's a tall order to ask of people, of human beings. You know, the power of it was when Jesus, before people, when he came and he started his ministry, before people really understood, started to understand who he was, they thought he was the son of a carpenter. He builds things. What's all this with healing? What's all this with helping people to walk that couldn't walk, healing the blind and helping the lame and raising people from the dead? Who can do that? See, that's what was used. That's what God used through Jesus so people might believe. That's what the gospel said, tells us. These things I've did, these things I have written, that thou mayest believe, that you might believe that I am He, I am God. And so now, He went to the cross, He fulfilled that mission, He leaves us here to be sanctified and set apart so people can believe on Him. People are looking at our lives. We can talk about things all we want to. You can read the Word of God all you want to. You can quote all the Scripture you want to. But until somebody sees you doing that in your life, they're not going to believe you. They're going to say, how do I know it works? The church says it works, but they're kind of, the Christians I know, they're kind of afraid to do it. They're kind of afraid to step out on faith. So how can I step out on it? If the one that's reading it and says they believe in it, it's not actually applying it, why should I apply it? You see, that's why the Lord left us. Those who are willing to truly follow after, submit themselves, be set apart. Sanctification, set apart for sacred service. That was his prayer. And the last thing, you look down here, the two more things. Look at verses 21 through 23. Definitely won't want to skip this one. Number one, he prays for his own glorification. Two, for our protection. Three, for our sanctification, us being set apart. And this fourth one right here is unity. Unity of all believers. I tell you, that is something powerful to look at. You look at verse 21, it says, that they all may be one. That they all come together as one. I tell you, there is a lot of power in being unified. You see a unified front and everything. If people start questioning things, that's when things kind of go sideways. And you know, we learn that at a very, very, very young age. You learn that. Kids, we got a lot of young people here. They might come to know this. I'm going to foil their plan for them. So this is what happens. They usually probably have one parent that probably maybe leans their direction more than the other. So if they want somebody to spend the night, or if they want to do something, if they want to get something, they're probably going to go to that parent first. And so what they will do is they'll go to that parent, hoping the parent will give them what they want. And then what will happen after that, then they'll say, ask your mother. Ask your mother. Ask your father. And so now they've got to bring two people together to agree on what they're going to do. Are they in agreement with this or not to make this thing happen? And if and that's where a lot of times what happens is mom and dad gets into an argument over that. The kid's waiting on just that. Are you going to give me what I want or not? And then they get frustrated arguments. They go ahead and do whatever you want, right? But I tell you, if you got mom and dad unified, and little one comes to them, they're just like, mom and dad's a force I can't really reckon with. Whatever, when we ask them, whatever one says, the other says, so there's no point in going to one or the other. They're both going to say the same thing. If you and I are in the same book as believers, you and I should be saying the same thing. I think I read it this week that one of the hardest things, or one of the things that have negatively affected Christianity the most, is Christians. And that's something. All this back and forth with things, all this, I'm not sure. You ask somebody a question and you start seeing them have a question mark, that causes a little doubt. I tell you, if you and I to be unified in the way we're supposed to be, we all should be confident in what the Word of God says and stand on it. See, there's power in that. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Our unity is that important. Jesus is praying here. He's saying, Lord, I pray that these believers that are here, the believers to come down, that is going to be the church, I pray that they be one, because that's how the world is going to see if we are true or not. That's the vision that they're going to have. You say, you really believe that? Well, that's what the Lord is praying here. That's what was on His mind. This was on the mind of God when He says this again, that they may all be one. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. To believe who Jesus is and the importance of who He is. Verse 22, and it says, and the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. How separated do you think God the Father and Jesus is? You think they're separated on any point? You know, me and Dad, we might disagree on things. You and your parents might disagree on things, and you kind of go back and forth on things. You know, God the Father and Jesus the Son has never argued against one another. You know that? That's something to think about. They've always been in agreement. I'll say it as clear as I know how to. The only way that you and I could not argue, the only way that you and I could always be in agreement, is if we're staying in the Word of God. That's the only way. My human way of thinking, your human way of thinking, would be potentially at variance, and that's just how it is. That's the way human nature is, but that's not God's nature. God's nature is unified. And the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You see how all that comes together? You see how powerful that is? How Jesus is saying, Lord, I want to show the world how you love me, and in turn, how I love them, and then the world can see through his people, us Christians, that how much God loves us. And then who wouldn't say, well, I want to be loved like that. I want that. I'll tell you something even a little bit deeper than that. John chapter number 10, verses 27 through 30. I tell you, I find a lot of solace in this also. If you're kind of wondering about salvation, is it eternal? Is it eternal or is it not? People want to argue. You might have it today, you might lose it tomorrow. Well, I'll tell you this, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches eternal salvation. Aren't you glad of that? Of all the things you can mess up, you can't mess that up. Praise God, because you didn't do it. Jesus did that on the cross. He finished that. It's his finished work. All you and I got to do is believe on it. But you see here, John chapter number 10, I'll start at verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That just goes right along with what he is praying for. Us following him, his sheep following him. And I give unto them, what does it say? Eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, if there was one that would want to pluck you out of the Father's hand, who would that be? Wouldn't Satan himself love that authority and that power? Don't you think if that was possible, that's what his ministry would be, is to go around and pull Christians out of the hand of God the Father? He can't do it. If he don't have that power and that ability, nobody else does. No man has that power. No man has that authority. Nobody is able to do that. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, it says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. You think about Jesus. I've used this before, but it's too good not to share again. You think about you, your soul. Then you think about Jesus encapsulating your soul. And then God the Father encapsulating that. You can't be lost. That's eternal. See, what God is talking about here, what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about protection. He's talking about unity. And once you're unified with him, it should show. It should never not show. I know we get in the flesh and things like that happen. We contend with that. But I'm telling you, what he's done on the inside is an eternal work, and it's completed. Let's go to verse 24. I'm getting ready to close here. Verse 24, back in John 17. I find this sincerely amazing, sincerely humbling. His prayer somewhat ends kind of how it started, but with the inclusion of some people. You know, it's something to think about the Lord and what he's done. His perfection, his perfected work, his perfect life, what he did for us being the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, and all glory and honor goes to him for that. No mistaking, all glory and honor goes to him for that. But you know, one of the things that the Lord asks here for you and me is that we as believers share in that glorification. That's something I thank the Lord for. He had everything. He has everything. He needed us for nothing. He wanted our fellowship. He created us to choose it or to not. So that's why we're here, to accept him or not, to choose his fellowship or not. But he didn't have to have us. We have to have him. And all that he did. Look what he prays here, verse 24. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me more before the foundation of the world. He's talking about us being glorified together, sharing in that glorification. That amazes me. Lord didn't just set us up for something just to be, just a part, just to worship him, but to share in that glory with him. Say, preacher, I don't know about that. Listen. Turn to Romans chapter number 8 for just a second. Romans chapter number 8, verse 16 and 17. Think about this prayer of intercession. You see the glorification for himself, Jesus' own glorification, that men could be drawn to him. You see the believer's protection. You see the believer's sanctification, that you and I would be set apart for the work of the Lord, that we would be unified in doing that work, that we'd all be seeking after him, the state of being one with God himself. And then you see the ultimate glorification of believers being asked for here. You look at Romans chapter number 8, verse 16 and 17. You think about the love that Jesus has for us and the plans that he has for us. And it says here, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. This is after a person has accepted the Lord. Regardless of feeling, we're focusing on fact this morning. The fact, if you've been saved, that the Spirit is dwelling in you, that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And see, that's enough. That's good. That's something to think about. You and I, through accepting Jesus Christ for who he is, we become the children of God. God is now our Father. Not deserving of that. But look what it says on verse 17. It says, and if children, but it goes on. But if children, then heirs, heirs of God. You see, people sometimes bicker over things, fight over things, temporal things, this and that. When estates are being settled out, all that kind of mess, people fight over that. But listen, child of God, look what it's saying. You remember a minute ago when I was talking about hope? When things might look bad, it might look rough here and everything, think about this. You and I that have accepted Christ are heirs of God. Now how would you like to look at that estate? Think about that. Think about all the benefits. Think about everything that that estate encompasses. That's way too much for me to go through today. You think about that. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That brings us right in with him, our Savior. Everything that he did on the cross, him being the first fruits, we are able to follow him if we believe him, and being raised from the dead at the last. If we have passed, then we are raised up with him. If not, we get to go with him in the rapture and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And that's something to share in. I'm going to close with that there, but I'm just going to say this. You think about, if you're a child of God this morning, the importance of it. I want you to see the importance of this intercessional prayer that Jesus prayed for you and I. He didn't leave it open-ended for us not to have something to hope for, to look forward to, or anything like that. He gave us the ultimate thing to look forward to, eternity with him. Be able to fellowship with him, to be able to be glorified together. That honor that we get to take only because of what he did. I find a lot of joy, I find a lot of hope in that. This morning, if you will, stand with me. I'll ask the ladies to come. Father, I just thank you so much for your word, God, and everything, Lord, that's there, the things that we understand, the things that we're learning and trying to understand, God. I thank you for the hope that you give to us, the promise that you've made for us, God. I thank you for this prayer that you prayed for us, Lord. I pray that it be a help and encouragement to everyone here, Lord. Whatever that they're going through, God, knowing that Jesus himself prays for us. You look after us, Lord. You're our great intercessor. In every single way. God, I pray for each one, Lord, to hear this morning that is lost. God, I pray that you touch them, touch their heart. God, please, please help them to see the importance and the need of accepting you, God, and what that means to know you as their Savior.